Grant Napier, both the play-by-play man for the Kings and also the host of the Grant Napier Show on 1140 KHTK. And Grant, with an exciting young team, a team where I think you can make a clear picture of your future for the first time in a while, I'll just start you with this one. Of all the exciting young players on that team, who has surprised you the most with the progress they've made into this year?
Well, De'Aaron Fox, and it's great to be on with you guys, but De'Aaron Fox from last year to this year is truly remarkable. I think everyone in Sacramento thought that they had a franchise type of a point guard, a guy that would be really good, but he's playing at an all-star level right now. I mean, like, if you were going to put together a Western Conference all-star team based on the first third of the season, you could make a really good argument that he should be on it. That's how good he's been. He's been incredible. He's electrifying. He is the main reason why Sacramento is 15-12. He's the main reason why the Kings have a winning record on the road. They have a lot of quality wins this year. What he's done at age 20 is mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling. He is so, so talented.
Is the best improvement for the Kings overall the idea, Grant, that they have so much more offensive diversity, six players averaging double figures, and you've got a veteran like Iman Shumpert sitting right there behind it? The Kings' offense is obviously not a one-trick pony, so defensively it becomes incredibly difficult to try to stop them.
Very true. They have a lot of different guys that lead the team in scoring on a nightly basis. They have tremendous chemistry in the locker room, and it carries over onto the floor. They genuinely love being around one another, and it shows. You know, you have a guy like a Bogdan Bogdanovic who comes in off the bench now and may be, next to De'Aaron Fox, the Kings' best all-around player. You have Buddy Hield that can score 20 points in a quarter. He's not Klay Thompson, okay? But he's kind of like that. In other words, you know, when Klay gets on a roll, you can't guard him. It's the same thing with Buddy. When he gets going, you just can't guard him.
Sure.
You know, you have their stretch four now in Nemanja Bjelica, you know, the other night, you know, 20-plus points against Minnesota. You have an athletic center that sprints up and down the floor in Willie Cauley-Stein. I mean, there are a lot of players on this team that can flat-out score, and they get up and down the court. It's like a track meet. I think the game tonight is going to be just incredibly fun to watch. Now, obviously, if the Warriors bring their A game, they're going to win. But they didn't bring their A game the other night, and they got beat kind of badly. Generally speaking, a team like the Warriors, they don't play poorly two games in a row. So this could be a real formidable challenge for Sacramento tonight.
And Grant, let me stay right there. You alluded to they didn't play their best game. We saw that. The fans here, we thought that was going to be a way better, more competitive, especially for the Warriors having Steph and Draymond back against Toronto. Looking at this young Kings team and the way they played the Warriors very, very close, how do you see necessarily this matchup? What are you looking for as far as just matchup individually wise when you see a team that everyone is geared up for, and that's the defending champs and the Warriors?
I think the Kings match up pretty well with the Warriors, except for one position. And I think probably the other 29 teams in the league would say this as well, and that's Kevin Durant. I mean, we saw that a couple of weeks ago in Oakland, where Kevin Durant just took over the game, and Sacramento had absolutely no answer. You know, I think that De'Aaron Fox, is he better than Steph Curry? No, but he can play with Steph. Is Buddy Hield better than Klay Thompson? No, but I mean, he can make that a fairly, even matchup. You know, maybe you give Klay the advantage. It's by, you know, 4 or 6 or 8 points. But I mean, you know, it's not like you're going to get destroyed there. The matchup that I see as the biggest challenge is, you know, if Kevin Durant is on his game, he becomes one of those unguardable guys. Okay, so what do you have to do? Well, then you have to figure out a way to double him. Well, then all of a sudden you've got Klay, you've got, you know, Steph, you've got, I mean, that's what to me makes the Warriors so unbelievably difficult. Again, I think, you know, I'm not breaking down any, you know, nuclear science here. When the Warriors are playing their A game, there's not a team in the league that can beat them. But if they're bringing their B game, or the other night, maybe some people would say their C, D, or F game, then they're very beatable. But if they're playing and playing as well as they can, then they're going to win the game. But we don't know if that's going to happen or not tonight. If the Kings play their A game and the Warriors play their A game, the Warriors are going to lose. If it's an A game for the Kings and a B game for the Warriors, this game is going to be very close.
Not unlike the last matchup was. And sort of to your point, Grant, that these are teams at different stages, quite obviously, but obviously, as well, the Kings impressing a lot of people with the way they're playing right now. And I have to say, from my perspective as an NBA nerd, I look directly at the head coach, because Dave Yeager is taking a team of guys without a lot of NBA experience, a lot of them without really a full successful season on their resumes. And he's coaching a team in a style totally different from the last time he coached a team to success. What have you seen from Dave Yeager, and am I right to point at him as a big part of what has led to their success this year?
Absolutely. He's an excellent coach. He proved that in Memphis, and as you said, with a different style, you know, a half-court style. It was called the Grindhouse for a reason. You know, he doesn't have that type of roster now, and he has adapted very nicely. You know, he has a Lamborghini at the, you know, in his garage. You know, he's not going to take it out and drive 30 down the street. So, you know, you've got a very special point guard, similar to what when Steph Curry got to Golden State. I mean, you know, he was the reason why the Warriors changed the way they played and how they played, because of his attributes. It's the same thing with De'Aaron Fox. Dave Yeager's done a marvelous job. The players love playing for him. He hits all the right buttons. I've been doing this 31 years, so I've seen a lot of coaches come and go. He's the best coach that I've ever seen in terms of diagramming plays after timeouts. Just watch the Kings after timeouts tonight. The play sets that they run are absolutely incredible. I mean, we are in awe of what he is able to do during timeouts. He has done a marvelous job. There's no question about it. I mean, again, the season doesn't end today. We're in the middle of the month. But based on this portion of the season, based on one-third of the season, I mean, if you were going to give a Western Conference Coach of the Year, he'd be a leading candidate. There's no doubt about it.
Without a doubt, and for the first time in years, you'll head to the Christmas holiday with the Sacramento Kings really still in the mix, Grant. I mean, how many times in your 31-year history did you head toward the new year and think, well, we should already start thinking about Secaucus, because the draft lottery
question.
Would be...
I've only done 9 playoffs out of 31 years, so I think that answers your question. You know what's interesting as well, fellas, and I don't know if you realize this, because I didn't until right before the game. Do you know that the last time the Kings, Sacramento Kings, played the Warriors, okay, this is mind-boggling now. The Kings moved to Sacramento in 1985. The game that was played in Oakland a couple of weeks ago was the first time ever, based on a minimum of 15 games, that the Kings played the Warriors when both teams were over 500. Now think about that.
Wow.
Like, that is a wow. Now, I'm going to ask you the second part of this question. Could you imagine the excitement in your market and this market and between Sacramento and the Bay Area if these two teams were to play in a playoff series, whether it's this year or next year or in your new building next year or whatever? Could you imagine the excitement level in this region, how unbelievable that would be?
I think especially this year, Grant, with the DeMarcus Cousins factor,
yeah.
If it's a 2-7 or if it's a 1-8, and you can imagine, you know, that game 3 in Sacramento, if the series is 1-1 and you got DeMarcus Cousins starting at center at
Golden One.
I mean, I got goosebumps just thinking about the possibility.
Yeah. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. I have real reservations about how DeMarcus is going to fit in there. I don't think Golden State needs DeMarcus. I don't think he's going to really help them. I really don't. I didn't understand the signing from day one. The style of DeMarcus, to me, doesn't fit in with the style of Golden State. The way the Warriors run up and down the floor and the way the Warriors play defense, I'm really skeptical how that's all going to work out. But you're right, that does add a dimension to it. There's no question about it. But I'm one of the skeptics out there. I think there are many of them, but I don't see it really all working out the way everyone else does.
Let me play devil's advocate with you on that, Grant, because I can see what you're saying in terms of style, and certainly the thing they seem to need most from the center position is defense, which has not been DeMarcus's calling card, I guess you could say, over the years. But I think in many ways you could have said the same thing about Kevin Durant before he got here. The sort of isolation basketball, offensive focused, defense not intense every possession. The way he played in Oklahoma City didn't really favor what the Warriors were doing here. He's changed his game somewhat, and isn't there at least the possibility that DeMarcus will be able to do a similar thing?
Maybe. I don't know if I would go with that analogy, but I understand the point you're trying to make. The best thing that DeMarcus has going for him is this is kind of the Olympic model for him, and he did very well with the Olympic team. The model is the Warriors don't need him, and he knows that the Warriors don't need him. And he also is in a livelihood position, and by livelihood I'm talking about his career, where he needs a contract this summer. And so he needs to be on his best behavior. He needs to fit in, and he needs to show the other teams that are interested in him that he can still play. So for those reasons, I think it will work. In other words, I think that he sees all of those things. And again, you know, the Warriors do not need DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, let's make that perfectly clear. They don't need him. He could help them if what you said is true. But if DeMarcus Cousins were to have a season-ending injury, and I'm not rooting for that, the Warriors aren't going to be any worse off. They're still the best team in basketball. They're the best team in basketball without DeMarcus Cousins. They're the best team in basketball with DeMarcus Cousins. So for that reason, I think that's a good situation for Steve Kerr and the Warriors, because if it doesn't work out, it's not a big deal. Well, like, what are they losing? They're not losing anything.
Grant, it was interesting earlier in our conversation, you alluded to talking about how Dave is maybe be coach of the year, first year coach. You see kind of what he's been able to do, and with the young team, how far are they away? Are they one superstar away from really competing? And when I say that, because you see what the Lakers have done, adding LeBron, that team kind of struggled. When you look at Luke and you look at both these coaches, which coach would you give, you know, not being biased, which one would you give the coach of the year out of these two coaches?
Well, I would clearly give it to Dave Yeager for this reason. Nobody in the league, and I mean nobody, had the Kings winning over 30 games this year. All right? They already have 15 wins, and we're in December 15th. A lot of people had the Lakers winning 50 games and going to the playoffs. And so I can't give a coach of the year to anybody that has LeBron James on it. He's the greatest player on earth. And so, and I'm a huge Luke Walton fan. I mean, look what he did when Steve Kerr was out. The Warriors didn't miss a beat. You know, he did a marvelous job. But again, if you have LeBron James on your team, you shouldn't be coach of the year. Dave Yeager has taken a team that nobody expected anything to have and has them playing at a very, very high level. And you ask me, you know, what are they away from being that team? I think they already have their nucleus. I think De'Aaron Fox is going to be a perennial all-star. I think Marvin Bagley is going to be a perennial all-star. He's only 19. They have so many other good pieces. I mean, if you were going to pin me down to it, I would say, you know what, probably a small forward. Amon Shumpert is very good, but he's on the final year of his deal. But when I'm looking at this roster, if you were to put a upper echelon small forward, and I'm not talking Kevin Durant, but I'm talking about, you know, a really good small forward, to me, this team automatically, barring injury, becomes a 50-plus win team.
Well, before I let you go, Grant, let me just ask you right now, Sacramento hanging in that eighth spot at 15-12. Do you think they can push into the playoffs this year, or are we still a year or two away from that?
They can push into the playoffs this year. I would not rule it out, but I still think they're a year away. I mean, I'm still looking at teams like Houston that have been bitterly disappointing. I just look at the talent on that team, and I look at what they would try to do to add before the trade deadline, and I still think that they're going to be, you know, a playoff team. Look at the teams that are currently out of the playoff picture in the West. You know, the New Orleans, the Utahs, you know, teams like the Minnesotas. I mean, are we to think that all of those teams are just going to be down near the bottom of the West all year? So the Kings still have a brutal schedule upcoming, but they're a good team. This is not a fluke. You can't play one third of the season, and they've had, I think, the sixth toughest schedule of any team in the NBA and be 15-12. So I'm not ruling it out, but I still think maybe we're talking 1 year away.
Grant Napier, TV voice of the Kings, plus Grant Napier Show on 1140 up in Sacramento. We appreciate you joining us, man. Have fun tonight.
Guys, thanks very much. Have a great weekend.